Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello and a warm welcome to the show. I'm Assumpta Latus and here are our main stories. Islamist sect Boko Haram continue to seize towns in northeastern Nigeria. This resident blames the government for not doing enough.
The government are not doing anything to see that this problem has been solved. The situation is pathetic. Our Nigerian military are running.
Also on the program, the African Union calls for Ebola travel bans to be lifted.
This drive to protect must be done in a manner that does not fuel isolation or lead to the stigmatization of victims, communities and countries.
Stay with us for those stories and more coming up in the next 25 minutes.
Top story.
Tension is rising in northeastern Nigeria as Islamist sect Boko Haram continues its march. Several towns are now under their control, and the country's army seems incapable to stop the militants' advances. Soldiers deployed to reclaim territories taken by Boko Haram have been reported to be fleeing, and civilians feel left unprotected from Boko Haram insurgency. But military senior officials claim they have killed 50 Boko Haram members and have recaptured the town of Bama. Our correspondent in northern Nigeria is Muhammad Alamin.
A senior Nigerian security official said on Monday the country's military had recaptured from Boko Haram the flashpoint town of Bama in Borno State. Locals said the insurgents have been burning churches, police stations and government offices as they seize more territory. Thousands have been forced to flee from the violence. Ibrahim Baba, a resident of Gombe, northeastern Nigeria, says despite the government's repeated assurances that they will protect them, the situation on the ground was worrisome.
The government are not doing anything to see that this problem has been solved. The situation is pathetic for Boko Haram to take over Bama, Gaza, Dambua. Our Nigerian military are running. Imagine the kind of situation. About 500 military run and enter into another country for the sake of their life.
Anxiety and panic also gripped residents of Mubi, the commercial nerve center of Adamawa State, as news spread that Boko Haram insurgents were closing in on the town. Nigerian soldiers were said to have deployed more troops and reinforced the armory at Maraba Mubi to prevent insurgents from capturing Mubi. Muhammad Musa, a political analyst, called on the Nigerian government to wake up from its slumber.
They should know that it is the masses that brought them into the corridor of power, with a promise that they will at least protect their lives and property. They have to stand up, protect these lives and the properties as they promise. There is a need for them to wake up from their slumber, or it will become too late for all of us.
Boko Haram fighters have been seizing more towns and villages in northeastern Nigeria as they seek to create an Islamic caliphate.
Muhammad Alamin reporting from Gombe. Now, some experts in Nigeria believe that there is a link between insurgency and illiteracy. Marking the World Literacy Day, experts in the education sector in the country have called for the government and parents to increase more efforts in ensuring that education is for all. Sela Oneko with this report by Nonye Agaji.
The theme for this year's World Literacy Day is literacy and sustainable development. However, many in Nigeria do not believe education and development can be sustainable amid increasing violence and insurgency in the country. This is what some of them had to say.
Also, I think that's also one of the issues, because illiteracy is a disease. And I also believe that if people are educated, they will not be in these situations. Illiteracy contributes a lot.
It's definitely a factor, because when you consider the motivation for fighting and all of that. Although we've also discovered that some people are involved that are not illiterate, but I think illiteracy plays a very great role, because when people are not literate, when people are not learned, it's easier for you to just sell some things to them and they take it up, you understand? But I think even the insurgents, people that do those things, also take advantage of that. So illiteracy also working hand in hand with unemployment.
The Islamist group Boko Haram has found easy recruiting grounds in the northeast, where the level of education is extremely low in comparison to the other regions. Angela Onome Ifekoya, an educationalist working with the Change Managers Network, an organization helping to create long-term educational strategies, thinks people in these regions would have made better choices had they been properly educated.
With literacy, those in those kind of crisis region are able to make good decision to know what is good for them and even the society. With literacy, they are not easily convinced to make the society go bad. It is with this literacy they are able to make right decisions as responsible individuals to promote a sustainable development or sustainable society for their country.
According to UNESCO, Nigeria has 10.5 million children who are currently out of school. Experts say if this is not addressed, more Nigerians will end up being illiterate. The government has set up literacy centers throughout the country in a bid to counter the growing number of illiterates. Security analyst Loretta Okolo says these centers should be given much attention because, according to her, one's level of literacy contributes to one's behavior.
Education is key to molding even the way we behave in the society. When you are enlightened, when you know, when you have the knowledge of the way things should be, I think to an extent it will help to curb the tendency for you to be violent. They say knowledge is power. When you acquire knowledge, you are taught to an extent how you can behave, you know, in the society.
The International Literacy Day is not a popular commemoration around the world, but in Nigeria, it is surely quite important to bolster education and development.
That report was compiled by Nonye Agaji.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
African Union members say travel bans imposed to contain the deadly Ebola epidemic should be lifted. This was said in one-day emergency meeting held by the AU in Addis Ababa. Carlo Lopez, the executive director of the UN Economic Commission for Africa, was at the meeting and had this to say.
The economic impact of the Ebola outbreak will be significant. Estimates by the Economic Commission for Africa confirmed that several points GDP reduction are to be expected in Guinea, Liberia and Sierra Leone due to a combination of factors. Significant reduction of mining operations, disruption of agricultural cycles with direct impacts of upcoming harvests, restriction to domestic and cross-border trade, substantial reduction of air travel, postponement of already negotiated or foreseeable investments.
Carlo Lopez, the executive director of the UN Economic Commission for Africa. The epidemic that has killed more than 2,000 people has been ravaging West Africa for almost half a year now. And some experts say it is out of control. Is there any reason as to why the African Union took so long to react? A question to Coleta Wanjohi, a journalist based in Addis Ababa.
The African Union has accepted that it kind of underestimated the issue of Ebola. And the fact that the Commissioner for Social Affairs, Dr. Stephen Kaloko, said that the fact that Africa had taken so long to develop its health systems is also a challenge. So Ebola found Africa when it did not anticipate that it would have maybe Ebola at some point. And that's why West Africa has been hit badly, because health systems were not developed at all.
How soon will those measures be carried out?
Following the meeting of foreign affairs ministers and an emergency meeting that was called by the African Union Commission and that was held today in Addis Ababa, it has been decided, there has been consensus that the non-affected countries that had put travel bans and other restrictions against countries that have been affected should lift these bans. The African Union chairperson, Dr. Dlamini Zuma, has emphasized the need for African countries to lift the ban and restrictions that it has put on other affected countries, especially Sierra Leone, Guinea and Liberia.
This drive to protect is the proper response, but must be done in a manner that does not fuel isolation or lead to the stigmatization of victims, communities, and countries.
Well, we understand that some countries, they've offered to send to affected areas some nurses and doctors. There are already some concerns that the nurses might contract the deadly disease while at work because of lack of protective measures. How realistic is this plan then?
That is also an issue that was discussed during the meeting for foreign affairs ministers, because earlier African Union had decided that African countries should contribute 100 medical personnel, which would comprise military and civilian component. The African Union has said that it has insisted to these African countries that they need to contribute or to offer people who have got health background, and it will be much easier because the African Union is going to train them again before they are deployed to these countries. And it is all about, African Union says, it's all about Africa remembering that they have a solidarity. They have to take the risk. The Union says it will try as much as possible to ensure that all these people have the right preventive gear. And the fact that it is about saving the spread of this disease, because it has been declared that if it's not combated in West Africa, and now there are two other countries, then it is going to spread so fast. So it is about moving and taking the risks and also precautionary measures.
Kalita Wenjoy speaking from Addis. The Somali Islamist group Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility for a suicide bomb attack that has killed at least 12 people. The attack is the first after Al-Shabaab threatened to retaliate against the killing of their leader, Ahmed Abdi Godane, a week ago. The bombing coincides with Human Rights Watch's report that accuses African Union forces, AMISOM, of gang-raping women and girls as young as 12 and trading food aid for sex. AMISOM says the report is unbalanced and unfair. For more, here is James Shimanyula reporting.
The spokesperson for the African Union peacekeeping force known as AMISOM, Major Deo Akiki, told DW they will initiate an investigation to allegations of abuse. Akiki was referring to a Human Rights Watch report that the AU peacekeeping troops have been abusing Somali women. Letitia Beda is the Rights Group Horn of Africa researcher.
We've basically spoken firsthand to 21 survivors of sexual exploitation and also of rape by AMISOM forces in Mogadishu. The youngest case of rape we have documented in this report is the rape of a 12-year-old girl by a Ugandan soldier. Interestingly enough, this appears to be the one case of rape which is currently awaiting trial before the Ugandan court.
The Ugandan soldier is part of AMISOM troops, which comprises 22,000 soldiers from Kenya, Djibouti, Uganda, Burundi, Sierra Leone, and Ethiopia. Abdi Ainte, director of the Mogadishu-based think tank Heritage Institute for Political Studies, credits AMISOM troops for their contribution to maintaining security in Somalia, but wants the forces to be enlarged.
I think AMISOM has done an incredibly, extraordinarily great job, actually, in pushing back Al-Shabaab and returning a sense of a general stability in Somalia over the past few years that it has been around. However, I think now AMISOM might have reached its maximum potential. I think AMISOM has done what it can, but it certainly needs to be strengthened.
However, Human Rights Watch researcher Letitia Beda wants countries that have deployed troops to Somalia to also ensure that AU peacekeepers who commit atrocities are held responsible.
We are calling on troop contributing countries in Somalia to make sure that they are not only deploying more resources to the ground, that they should be deploying military courts to Somalia so that victims of abuses, of all sorts of abuses by the African Union forces, can see justice being done on their home territory in Somalia.
That report was by James Shimanyula. And now let's sit back and listen to our favorite drama series produced by the Learning by Ear team.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome to episode 5 of the Learning by Ear series on hygiene and how to avoid diarrhea. In the last episode, Sam made it to hospital in time to be treated for diarrhea. It was a close shave. Dr. Sally also took time to explain to Chemu and Sam about what exactly diarrhea is and what causes it. Africa does not have to lose any more children to diarrhea. Simple habits can prevent the spread of the disease. Immediate medical attention can also save those unfortunate enough to be affected. but this community still needs to learn a lot more. Listen on and learn more about the causes, cures and prevention of diarrhea as we follow the story of Sam, his family and friends.
Edith.
Yes?
It is really good to be able to do this again. It has been a long time since we came to fetch water from the river together.
I know, Maria. I guess I've had too many problems lately that have kept me in the house. What with what happened to baby Fatu and some sickness. And then...
I know, my friend. Fatu's death was tough. And that is why I had to drag you out of that house today. Fresh air will do you some good.
You are a good friend, Maria. You're at times crazy, but you're a true friend when I need you.
And where are those children? They were supposed to be here before us. I hope that boy of yours, Sam, knows better than to mess with my girl, Chemu.
You're too harsh on them, my friend. They're just children. Sam should really be resting more. He was only released from hospital 2 days ago.
Well, he needs the fresh air too. Now, let's go downstream and fill up our containers with water.
What is this?
What?
We have to share our water with the cattle as well.
It's not the cows I'm afraid of. It's those children over there.
Who? Sam and Chemu? I don't see them.
No. The ones over there, Edith. Look at them. They're bathing. Some are washing clothes and, well, you can see what the others are doing. They are relieving themselves by the bank of the river.
Oh, what is wrong with them? They come all this way to the riverbank to use it as a toilet? Why would they do that?
The same reason your son used to give me free manure on my garden.
Oh, come on, Maria. That is not fair.
Okay. Either we stop them or we simply wait for the river to wash the stuff away and then we can fetch our water.
How long do you think we'll have to wait for that? Look, there are lots of them and more keep joining them.
Okay. They need to be told off.
Hey, you! You, yes, you! Get out of there right now! Don't you see we are fetching our drinking water? I'm coming over there and if I catch you, I will cane your naked behinds with this stick until you can walk no more.
Maria, you crack me up.
What's so funny? There's nothing amusing about children crapping in the same water we drink and used to cook. It is really very good to see you smile. It has been a long time. Daria had taken your smile away as well.
There must be a reason why nature-made excreta have such a foul smell. A smell and a sight that appalls human beings. We are meant to separate ourselves from that which we excrete from our bodies. A marked difference between us and animals.
Help! Help! Mother! Mama Sam! Help! Help!
Oh no, it's my Chemu! 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 What is wrong?
Chemu, where is Sam? Where did you leave Sam?
Snake. Many snakes. Help.
Snake? There are no snakes in this area. Where is it? Where is the snake?
Where is Sam?
With Sam.
Sam is with Sam. Chemu, you're not talking sense.
Chemu, where is Sam? And where did you see a snake?
Sam is with Snake.
What?
What?
Snake is with Sam.
Good heavens. Chemu, can you speak sense? Okay, calm down. Take a deep breath. And another one. Okay, now, slowly. Where is Sam? Where did you see a snake?
I took a walk with Sam.
Mm-hmm.
He said his stomach was aching.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the bush. You know what? Then he screamed.
And what happened? Is my son okay?
Many snakes came out of, you know, inside him. It was, oh no!
Where is Sam, Chemu? Where is Sam now? Where did you leave him?
With the snakes in the bush.
No.
Oh dear me, we are not getting anywhere. Edith, let's go and look for him.
Don't need to look for me. I'm right here.
Sam, what is this I hear about snakes?
I have things that look like snakes in my stomach.
Young man, you are bewitched. Chemu, I forbid you again to be going
look,
out with this...
Look, it's Eddie, my brother-in-law.
Uncle Eddie, how good you are here.
How is everyone? So, this is why there is no one at home, eh?
I had to get Edith out of the house for some fresh air. Anyway, we needed some clean water. Well, if you can call it clean.
Sam, I see you're much better now.
He's okay. All right. But he's not well. He's shooting snakes from behind. What kind of medicine did you give him at the hospital? I thought you knew what you were doing, being a health person.
Shooting snakes? Sam, what is wrong? You're rather quiet. What's going on?
Some kind of snake, a small one, came out of, you know where.
Not to worry. They are just intestinal roundworms. They are coming out after the deworming. That's the medicine was given at the hospital.
You mean now you farm worms in people's intestines?
Is my son sick again? I can't bear another sickness in the family again. I just can't.
No. No need to worry, Edith. Sam had two infections. The acute diarrhea and pain was caused by parasites like amoebiasis. Recurrences of these are responsible for high rates of dehydration and death. Sam is safe from that now.
Then why is he shooting worms from behind? Can't you see how scared these children are?
Again, you don't need to worry now. Sam had a second and very common infection. Somehow, roundworm eggs had entered his system and grew into worms. Now, after the medication, they no longer have a safe place to grow in the stomach or intestine, and so they are finding their way out through excreta.
How did Sam swallow these worms? They must have found their way into his stomach through his mouth. I don't serve up worms in my house.
Eddie, you confuse us with all your learning. You better explain.
And I will. They get into the stomach as eggs from water or even vegetables. The intestine environment is a good place for them to grow.
So, Mr. Learned Man, how do the eggs get onto the vegetables or the water? Who lays them there?
Sam, where and how did you get to see the worms? I mean, the one that came from inside you.
I was, you know.
He was relieving himself in the bush.
There is your answer.
You see, Edith, what did I tell you about your son and his habit of spreading manure in other people's gardens?
Maria, stop picking on my son.
I am not. I just want to let you...
Stop it. Stop it, you two. Edith, you asked how the eggs got inside Sam. Well, in there, in the bush where he went to relieve himself, he has deposited enough eggs to make the whole village suffer from intestinal worms and diarrhea.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to. I didn't know. Please forgive me. Please.
Sam, you're like a chicken, only with bad eggs.
Stop it, you two. What should we do now?
I know. Sam, take a spade and scoop out your trappings and deposit them somewhere far away.
Hey, stop it. It's not Sam's fault that he got infected by the intestinal eggs and all those other parasites and bacteria. He didn't know he was contaminating other people.
Whose fault is it then? The people at the hospital are also to blame. They were supposed to have cured him.
I'm certain about one thing. Sam is getting better. The worms are coming out because the environment they were growing in has now been treated and they can't grow anymore. They are dying. But we need to educate the whole community about these things.
Especially those children who are relieving themselves in the river. And the cows, and the clothes washers, and I'm surprised we're not all suffering from diarrhea.
Now you get it. We are all in danger. At times, we are our own enemies. That's why we must learn more about prevention.
There is so much to learn about how diarrhea is spread. AD has realized that the community needs help to learn some critical general knowledge about prevention. Let's also learn a lot more about prevention by tuning into the next episode of Learning by Ear. You can also visit our website at www.dwwild.de/LBE. Remember to send us your comments about this series or any other Learning by Ear stories. So long and take care.
And before I leave this studio, here is a summary of what we have been covering. African Union members say travel bans imposed to contain the deadly Ebola epidemic should be lifted. Al-Shabaab has claimed responsibility of a suicide bomb attack that has killed at least 12 people. And that's it for this edition. Join us again the same time tomorrow for more stories from the African continent. For questions and comments, our email address is feedback.africa@dw.de. Our postal address is Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. And our mobile number for text messages only is +49 160 9575 9510. Till tomorrow then, it's me, Assumpta Latus. Thanks for listening.